Found here right now, Jesus. beside me, no shadow, no valley, where you won't find me, no, I am not afraid. Before me, behind me, always beside me, no shadow, no valley, where you won't find me.
Peace this morning.
Sweet one.
wherever you are right now, can we just worship him? Thank you, God, for your peace, God. Thank you for your love, God. Thank you, God, that you are with us and that you are for us, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord, church. Such a sweet presence of the Holy Ghost here. Let's just start this service off in prayer this morning. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your many, many blessings. We thank you, Lord, for meeting with us here in our homes. Lord, we ask you to bless each and every household. Lord, keep your peace, keep your hand, Lord, upon us this day. In the name of Jesus. Praise God, praise God. Well, it is so good to be here today. So good to be back, even though we really didn't go anywhere. My wife and I have been kind of on a stay-at-home vacation, as many of you are. It's good to be here this morning. I'm just excited about what God is doing. We have, for right now, for offering, we have some giving options. You can mail this to Calvary Gospel Church, 5301 Commercial Avenue, and you can text to give, and that's 608-719-3883. You can just put tithes and offering, and then you can, there's a give link, cgcmadison.org on our website. And I just want to appreciate all of the support through this time. And we've had to do a lot of things different, as well as many of you have had to do a lot of things, make a lot of adjustments in your homes and how you do life right now. But I'm just thankful. I'm just very thankful for what God is doing. God has kept us safe. So with announcements, this next week we are going to continue to have service online. I believe that we are going to be in this predicament up through the end of May, end of May, sometime in the 24th, 25th, not for sure the exact date, but when this quarantine will end or lift. But this Wednesday evening, we'll have service here, Bible study, then Thursday evening, we're going to have a drive-up movie night here, and Brother Jerry Simmons and our outreach team, we're going to be showing the movie The Call of the Wild. So it's a good family movie, and social distancing guidelines will all be in place. And I think this social distancing, one thing we're going to develop some bad habits out of this, and that is when we want to talk with someone, they're going to be 10 feet away, and we're going to be yelling all the time. People are going to start thinking that we're angry at each other, but we'll have to yell at one another. It's kind of funny watching people walk down the sidewalks, and you can tell if it's a family or not, and you can tell they start to get odd looks now because they're not social distancing. And so if you show up here on Friday or Thursday night and you're a family and you're all in the same car, you can stay in the same car. We won't worry about that, But if you're a guest of ours and this is the first time you've tuned in here at Calvary Gospel Church, it's just an honor to have you here today. And we hope you've enjoyed our worship. Hope you enjoy the message. And we would look forward to meeting you in person here in another month or so here at Calvary Gospel Church. But with that, since I'm the MC here today and all of this, I'm going to just roll right into the preaching. And many of you know at our home over the last, I've made reference to this over the last, actually this will start 7 years. I was just talking with Brother Derek Buchholz before service here. This has been going on a 7-year project. And I told my wife the other day, I said, I kind of feel now, I kind of know how Jacob felt having to work for 7 years for his father-in-law. And we've been working on this project, and it started off, as many projects that I do, it started off something on a little bit of a smaller scale. And then, you know, you have kind of that go big or go home. Well, it isn't my home, so I went big and I stayed home. But nevertheless, we started this little project, and it's kind of grown a little bit, to say the least. But we're putting in a natural swim pond, and it's going to have some fish, some koi fish and such that I've been raising for years now. We've had fish, and I just love the enjoyment of just sitting out, and you can hand feed them, and they kind of become pets. Some of you have to take your pets for a walk. Some of you have to take them in to get them groomed, and I just provide a big water hole, and the fish just love it. But we're on approaching 120 plus tons of large boulders that are in the swim pond, and then we have about 140 tons of smaller varied sizes of gravel and stone that kind of mix in to make this all look real pretty. And I didn't think of this today when it comes to the title of my message, because I'm going to be speaking on the topic between a rock and a hard place. And Brother Derek asked me if this was in reference to the project in our backyard, and I never even thought of that, Brother Derek. But yes, this would certainly apply, because there are lots of rocks, and if you've ever tried to maneuver a 2.5-3-ton boulder, something that weighs the size of your pickup truck, into a few inches of space, it has been a challenge. But it is looking very good, and I want to thank all of the gentlemen and folks that have helped. But I trust all is well with your families this morning. And as I said, we had a good week staying at home. Lots of household projects had to get done. And I want to thank the staff here at Calvary Gospel Church for covering for us this past week. And as a church body, I just want to inform you, and I know sometimes it gets a little bit difficult and to try to get all of the information out there, but we are doing well. We're holding our own here, and I just want to appreciate, let you know, I appreciate all the prayers as well as support as we continue to deal with and endure these somewhat trying times. And I just want to encourage everyone to remember to pray for one another. There's all different types of ways that we're keeping in contact with one another, various social media and phone calls and Facebook and all of these different things. But I just want to continue to encourage you to keep in contact with one another if at all possible. And if you're struggling in any way with any issues or anything, just please feel free to give the church a call, and we will do our best to meet those needs for you. I don't know about the rest of you here, but I went to put my suit on this morning, and I don't know, Brother Dan, my suit feels a little bit snugger than it did a few months ago. And I've talked to a few folks that have made the comments that they've been adding a few pounds on in this quarantine, and I was always told that if I ate out a lot, I would get fat and put on these pounds. But I'm finding out that because I'm eating in more, I'm putting on weight as well. And you know, I thought that staying at home, the meals were supposed to be healthier. Certainly eating much healthier, but I don't know exactly what the problem is there. But it kind of really came to a point last Friday night. We had dinner with Brother Jeff and Sister Linda Neesom. I thought I'd share this story with you. And their granddaughter, Iris, was there. Now, these kids, I will tell you, they grow up so fast. And Iris just seems like a few months ago she was dedicated, but she's 2 years old now. And that girl can talk. She has an incredible vocabulary. And she brought a book to me, which was one of those children's Bibles, and she brought it, and she asked me if I would read it to her. So she snuggles up on the couch and snuggled right in, and I started reading the book to her, and she kept looking at my face, and then she kept looking at my belly. And after a few minutes of going back and forth, she stops, and she takes her little finger, and she points at my belly, and she goes like this. And then she asked me if I had a baby in there. And I was like, oh, man, out of the mouths of babes. Oh, I hope quarantine has been fruitful. Oh, anyway, this has been a test. It really has. This has been a test for most of us. Most of us aren't used to staying indoors or staying at home as much as we are. And if I could say it's been a test in many different ways, but it's been a test of our patience. I don't know about the rest of you, but I just, the other day, I'm just like, I just got to get out and go do something. I just got in my truck and drove around for about 35, 40 minutes because I just, it's like I'm done with being at home every day. I want to get out and I want to see something other than just my home. And it also, it's a test of endurance, one's ability to endure. Now, I never really cared much for tests. When you're in school, you've got tests, and I know a lot of the kids now they're still in school, but they're not in school as far as at the school itself. They're homeschooling and such, and you have tests that you have to take, and you have plumbing. When I was in plumbing, I had every Friday we had a test that we would have to take in our plumbing school, and sometimes we have physical tests. And we have, if you join the military and you go into boot camp, you have physical tests that you have to take. And over the last 9 months of my life, I've had a number of health tests that have had to take. I've had my blood tests done. I don't know how many times they've taken blood and done blood tests, and they've done tests where that they lay you in a hollow tube and they strap your head into a type of a helmet and pack padding around your head so you can't move, and they back you into this tube. It's called an MRI, and some of you have had MRIs maybe on your knees or your back or your arms, but I had an MRI on my head, and it was quite a different experience, quite a time of stress. They take you in and they actually inject chemical into your brain so they can read what's happening. I don't know if they could read what's happening in my brain, if there was actually anything happening in there, but nevertheless, they can test different things in your head and see how things are doing, and an atomic imaging. I don't know if you've ever had atomic imaging, but I was introduced to the test of atomic energy or imaging this past year, and all of this stress, it can wear you out at times. All of these different tests and all of the hardships that we have to deal with in life and the trials that we have to deal with. And I just want you to understand one thing as a Christian, that most of our trials that we have actually come from God. They don't actually come from the other guy. Now, the other guy, at times, he likes to try us, but it's not trials as much as it is as temptations. The other guy is real good at tempting us, but God is real good at testing us. And one of the ways that he tests us is through trials, and there's a vast difference between a trial and a temptation. So today we're going to be talking about trials here. We're talking about between a rock and a hard place. Do you know that God allows trials and tests in your life and in my life in order to reveal to us where we are going on our spiritual journey? He does this to correct at times whatever happens to be wrong that we are doing. He desires to reveal to us whatever needs to be revealed, and he desires to strengthen in us whatever seems to be weak. Remember our last series so that we may mature, so that we might move on to what he has in store for us. And as we speak for a few moments today between a rock and a hard place, I'm beginning to think that the longer this process or this quarantine drags out, the more difficult things are going to get. I'm beginning to feel that we are somewhere right now stuck between a rock and a hard place. But understand something this morning, church. Our entire world is being stuck or in a position between a rock and a hard place. It doesn't matter what news source you look at. It doesn't matter what country you look at, whether it's a developed country or it's a third world country, how rich that country, how poor that country. Our societies seem to be stuck between a rock and a hard spot. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation like this morning, stuck between almost seemingly impossible situations. When we look into the Bible, we can look in and we can find all different scenarios of individuals that have been stuck between a rock and a hard spot. I'm reminded of the old prophet Elijah. He's on Mount Carmel, performs an incredible, God uses him in an incredible, incredible way, calls fire down from heaven, consumes a sacrifice, slays the prophets of Baal, the false prophets, and within a few days, he's running for his life. He's between a rock and a hard spot. He's between the wicked Queen Jezebel, who's seeking to destroy him, and he's living in a cave in the wilderness, stuck between fear of Jezebel and the loneliness and the frustration and weariness of going from victory to defeat so very quickly. I'm reminded of the three Hebrew children, how that they were instructed to bow down before the golden idol of Nebuchadnezzar. That was a rock and a hard spot. Either they're going to stand up and they're going to, in the process of not refusing to bow, they're going to stand up. But by standing up, they're also going to take and they're going to have to make that stand in a fiery furnace. So here they're faced with either bowing down to the king or standing up for God Almighty. That's a rock and a hard spot. That's a hard situation, looking at a fiery furnace or bowing down to an idol. I'm also reminded of the Israelites, and we're going to draw our topic, our story from this today between Israel and the Red Sea. You have to understand God had delivered them out of the hand of Pharaoh, and they're on a march to a promise, and they left Egypt, and they're marching to this promise, and they come to the banks of the Red Sea, and they find out that Pharaoh decided to change his mind. Pharaoh no doubt woke up the next morning after he had told the Israelites to get out after the death angel had passed. He no doubt woke up and realized what he had done and decided that I'm going to change my mind. I want to re-enslave the Israelites. I want you to get them back here. So he sends his army. So when we look at this, a rock in a hard place, we need to ask ourselves the question, who places us there? Who places us between the rock and the hard spot? How did we get here? I want to remind you that perhaps it is God at times, just maybe, perhaps, it's God that is seeking to position you. And in the process of positioning you, we resist at times. And as a form of resistance, God has to take and place us between a rock and a hard spot.
Sometimes we do this to ourselves because of our disobedience to God. God asks us to do something and we refuse to do it. So we decide we're going to do our own thing as Jonah. And he was placed between a very difficult rock as the ship is going to sink, or a hard spot being thrown overboard and swallowed up by a great fish. So here, sometimes we look at this rock and this hard spot. And we may look at our lives and say, well, I'm really not doing anything, Pastor, that is wrong. I haven't done anything that would cause these type of situations to come against me. And I would remind you of Job, who found himself between a very difficult rock and a hard spot. And he found himself there simply because of his obedience to God. You see, we have to understand that God uses sometimes difficulties to try to position us, to try to teach us. I'm reminded of James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. Some of us are going through, some of you are going through trials today. Things that you never thought you would have to deal with or endure. But blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. So when we're caught between a rock and a hard place, we feel trapped, we feel stuck, and we're tired of where we are. We don't know what to do, or we don't know how to legitimately do what we need, we feel we need to do. So here we are, we're stuck, and we don't always know what to do. We don't know how to maneuver. We don't know how do we get out? How do I deal with this? And we're like the Israelites with Pharaoh on one side and the Red Sea on the other. And death and destruction, failure, fear seem certain no matter which direction we look. Do you know that sometimes God's plans just simply don't make any sense to us? I've sat down through all of this and sometimes I shake my head and I'm like, God, I can understand, I guess, but I don't understand in so many different ways. It appears on the onset that Israel is caught between this rock and this hard place. And understand, to them, it looked like a lose-lose deal. Either we're going to perish in the Red Sea, or we're going to be destroyed by Pharaoh's army. If it were a clear win-lose type of a situation, we would know the right choices in which to make. Thus, we would know where to turn to. But when we do not know, or we do not understand, or we do not see any clear choices, what option do we choose when both options are bad options? You see, Pharaoh's army was attempting. Pharaoh's army was coming. Was that option number one, is face the army, or option number two, try to somehow swim 1.5-2 million people across the Red Sea? I don't know if you've ever been, or if you've ever been in a situation where every option led to more problems, and you just wanted to find which one of these would cause me the least amount of damage. We're looking this morning about dealing and overcoming and struggling through, and we look at all of the situations that we're faced with and all the decisions that we have to make. Which decision is going to cause the least amount of damage, and which problem is going to cause me the least amount of trouble? I know I've been in situations like this in my life, and they aren't fun. But one thing that I've learned over the years is I've learned that God has a purpose for these times in our lives. Just as my doctor was not trying to be a mean individual or obnoxious individual for putting my body through all of these stress, all of this stress and all of these tests, God is not a mean God when he leads us through trials. God is not seeking to destroy us through trials, but he's seeking to take and raise us up into a new level with him as we go through these trials. If we're going to accomplish God's plan for our lives, we need to know how to stand up against opposition. And how will we ever know how to stand up against opposition if we never have opposition? One of the secrets to our success will be learning how to remain immovable, unmovable. When people or circumstances come against us, we must remain strong. We must remain firm. And we can learn a lesson at how to stand by looking at the children of Israel. After they left Egypt, the Israelites were headed to the promised land. They were no doubt excited. There was a level of excitement that hadn't been in their ranks. Understand, they were here in Egypt for 430 years. They left the life of slavery, and they're looking forward to a better life, a promise. But suddenly, almost immediately, after leaving Egypt, they found themselves in a difficult spot. We can come to church sometimes, and God can flow, and we can feel the powerful presence of God in our lives, and it seems like we can walk out into the parking lot, and before we get into our car, somebody may come up to us and have a conversation with us that is a difficult conversation, or we go out and our car won't start, or we go out and we have a flat tire. Almost immediately, they found themselves in a difficult situation. The Egyptian army was pursuing them from behind. On either side of them, all they could see was the hills and the mountains. And the Red Sea was in front of them. They were hemmed in, and it looked as though they were caught between a rock and a hard place. But you see, notice one thing, Brother Powell. The minute that they got into trouble, what did they do? Can you tell me? What did they do? What? Yeah. The minute they got into trouble, they complained. Exodus 14:11 in the NLT, it says, "Why did you bring us out here to die in this wilderness? Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt? What have you done to us, Moses? Why did you make us leave Egypt?" They're on their way to a miracle. It's a miracle that they even got out. And soon as they get out, and soon as they start heading to the promise, they run into a little bit of an obstacle, and they begin to bellyache. How many times can we do the same thing? God blesses us. God provides for us. God is patient with us. And the minute something happens that we get aggravated about that doesn't fit, we begin to bellyache. I can only imagine the level of bellyaching that some of us have done through all of this quarantine mess that we're in right now. Bellyaching about everything. Nobody can do anything right. Everything's wrong. I'm so tired of the belly aching of our news media. It just makes me want to just crawl in a hole and cover it up until this is all over with, because I just get tired of grown people day after day after day belly aching about stuff. So here, although they're crying out for deliverance, they're begging God to deliver them. They forgot all about the promises that God had already given to them about their deliverance. You see, church, we have to remind ourselves at times that, yes, even in all of this mess that we're going through right now, God has promised some great promises to us. He has promised revival. He has promised miracles and signs and wonders. And even though we may be stuck right now, perhaps between a rock and a hard place, God is still a God of deliverance. It may look as though there's no way out, and instead of turning to God, they looked at the Red Sea with despair, and they were filled with fear. They didn't even consider the God that had just brought them out of slavery, that just maybe, perhaps, this God could perform a miracle for us. You see, they looked at their circumstances in their natural sense. Whenever we look at things in our natural eyes, with our natural mind and our natural heart, it's never going to make sense to us. You see, we have to look at things through our spiritual eyes. We have to look at things through God's perspective, through God's point of view. You see, and as they begin to look at things in their natural sense, they looked at the Pharaoh's charging army and the dust as it got closer, and they looked at the waves of the sea, and suddenly the bondage that they just came out of didn't quite seem so bad. And the same thing can happen to us today when it looks as though our backs are against the wall. So many times we want to run, or we want to fall back into old habits. How many times does our human nature, when we have times of difficulty in our lives, instead of turning to God as our answer and as our way out, the old human nature begins to come back, and we want to go back to the old habits. We want to go back. Can we just go back, Moses, and just be slaves again in Egypt? At least there we were given food. But you see, when we're in situations like this, we need to learn to stand firm, and we need to stay focused on God. What is Moses? What a tough job Moses had. I don't envy the man at all. I think sometimes that we want to be like characters in the Bible. We want to be like David, but we don't want to have the problems that David had. We want to be like Moses, but we don't want to deal with the people. But Moses told the people in Exodus 14, 13, and 14, don't be afraid. Just stand still. You don't even have to do anything. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. So as you're sitting in your home this morning, and perhaps you're tired, you're frustrated, this has beat you up, you don't know where you're going to go from here, I just want to encourage you right here, right now, today, don't be afraid. Stand still and watch. Watch. See the salvation of the Lord. Watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians, the problems, the issues, the struggles that you see today will never be seen again. The Lord Himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. What an encouraging few verses of Scripture. Moses is telling Israel, just as I'm telling Calvary Gospel Church today, listen, church, Don't worry. Don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch and see what God does. This enemy that we're fighting, this battle that we're fighting, the situations that we're struggling with, the Lord Himself will fight for you. And if you allow God to fight for you, those struggles, those problems, those situations will never be seen again. Just stay calm. We shouldn't be surprised when trouble comes knocking on our door when we follow after God. The important part is we have to focus on His promises. The devil doesn't want us to go forward with God. And he'll do whatever he can do to get you to fall back into your old destructive habits. If you've been dealing with temptations and all of this, perhaps maybe things that you never thought you would have to be tempted over again in this time of quarantine, the enemy's knocking on your door and he's trying to get into your mind and into your heart, and he's trying to get you to go back to some of those destructive habits. Listen, it's times like this that we need to focus. We need to focus on God, and we need to remember the words that have been given to us in the scripture. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 57 and 58, Apostle Paul addresses, he says, "But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." He goes on to say, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." He's saying that we'll stand firm is easy, but it's much harder to do when things are coming against us. It's not easy to stand firm when the enemy's throwing everything he can throw at us, trying to discourage us in every way that he can. But many people want to take and just take times of trouble and struggle and just cut and run. But I want to challenge you this morning that half the battle is simply staying in our position. If we're going to receive anything that God has for us, we have to learn how to stay put where we are. Now, there are times when God requires us to move, and there are times when He requires us to stay put. And this simple principle works. We hear this all the time about sheltering in place. Church, we need to stay sheltered in place at this time. This is a place that God has called us to, no matter how difficult it may get. Because everybody encounters obstacles. And how do we stand strong when adversity comes? We have to realize and understand that God has a plan. God has a plan. And that plan is big enough to take care of all of us. I love this passage of Scripture in Isaiah. It's becoming one of my favorite passages. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 through 11. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish whatever I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." This is powerful. This is so incredibly powerful. If we focus on the natural realm, things will always look hopeless. The Israelites only saw the Red Sea in front of them. and the Egyptian army behind them, and they couldn't see any way out. But God had made a way of escape, and it was an incredibly unusual way of escape. You see, God's plan was them, for them to go through the Red Sea. Isn't it amazing how that God says, listen, this formidable obstacle in front of you, I'm going to use as a way of escape, a way of permanent separation between you and your problem. So God opens up the sea, and the Israelites walk across on dry land. And Pharaoh's armies decide they're going to follow. And they get out into the middle of the sea, and God closes the sea up. Never for them to have to return back. And their problem was eliminated. God made a way of escape. The more we focus on the impossibilities, the further down we'll go. But when we start looking at the possibilities of God, when we start looking at the possibilities of healing and start looking at the possibilities of deliverance, the possibilities of success, the possibilities of revival and victory, it is then and only then will we see our situation change, because God has a plan of victory and triumph for each and every one of us. If our musicians can come at this time, I want to read from Jeremiah 29, verses 1 through 14. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And when you call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me. When you search for me with all your heart, I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. You see, we have a part to play in our own success. Only we can determine whether or not we will be a victor through this process or a victim through this process. It's up to us to determine whether we're going to be a faith giant or a faith failure. If we feel as we've been beaten down by circumstances, burdened down with the cares of this life and gripped by fear, weighted down by the grind of life that can seemingly just grind us down, we need to take heart, because God wants to refresh us. He wants to refresh you, refresh me, refresh us as a church, and set us on a new course of victory in Jesus Christ. When we rise up and begin telling the enemy who we are in Christ, we will move from our promises of God into our promised land. And in that promised land is where impossibilities will become possibilities. So if you find yourself this morning between a rock and a hard place, there is a way out. There is a way of escape. God bless you this morning.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd but you have never failed me yet. Been waiting for change to come.
Things I'd like for you to just pray for this next week. Just continue to pray for things would continue to go well in all of our homes. Continue to pray. I've been asking you to continue to pray psalms over your family. And this past week, Sister Julie Puckett lost her father. And the funeral, I believe, was on Friday. So just continue to pray for the Puckett family, Norman and Julie and their children. And also Brother Ted's his son. Brother John Wagner, continue to pray for Brother John Wagner. He's got some pretty serious health issues going on right now, as well as Brother Pat Huber is also struggling. So just continue to pray for them this past week. Pray for one another. Lift one another up. Stay in contact. Stay in touch. If you have any issues, if you have any struggles, anything you need to talk about, just feel free to give us a call here at church. And we love you. Appreciate each and every one of you. Miss you all. Miss you all very much. But as we said, be safe. Be smart. It's important to stay saved. Sanctified and sanitized. God bless you. Love you all. Have a blessed, have a beautiful day. It's a beautiful day. Get outside and enjoy it. We'll see you Wednesday evening. God bless.